من وذكر اسم ربه
فصلى سبق
المعين. The translation of this ayat which I have recited, Allah tabaraka ta'ala says that قد أفلح, the word قد is definite undoubtedly. And Allah ta'ala's word, in Allah's words there are no doubts whatsoever. But Allah reveals His words with the word definitely, undoubtedly. أَفْلَحَ, that person has gained success. The Arabic language is very rich in its vocabulary. And for the word success, there are many words. But the word أَفْلَحَ is that word that comprises of all the types of success. Whether it is of deen, of dunya, of akhirat, of health, of wealth, all types of success. And this is the kalam of Allah, what Allah says. So Allah says, undoubtedly, definitely, that person has found all types of success. Man tazakka, that person who got tazkiya, purification of the ruh, who has purified himself spiritually, that person has got all success. So we just discussed this a little bit. All of us, all human beings, Muslims and non-Muslims, the two main components in our body is this physical body of ours, which is made of sand and water from which Allah has made this body. And the driving force, the power of this body is the ruh, the soul. When the child is made in the mother's womb, after about 4 months and 10 days, roughly, then there is no lifestyle in that child. Then Allah puts the ruh in that child. Then the mother, for the next 5 months, she feels that her child has got life within itself. And as long as the ruh is in the body, the whole life, that person is a living person. And that person will eat, drink, or if he becomes sick, people will look after him, will support him, everything. He's a living person. But when that ruh goes out, now immediately, announcements are made, so-and-so has passed away. And janaza will be so at this time here. And according to Islamic teaching specifically, as soon as possible now, go and bury the person. Because the ruh is gone out. So the ruh is the most important thing. And this ruh, while a person is living, if the ruh goes out of the one hand, for example, we say the person has become paralyzed. This ruh is gone out. Now if you hit on that hand, you prick it with a pen, you won't feel any. The ruh is the main thing. As long as the ruh is there, that person has got life, everything. If a person is in a coma, he can't eat also, you can't feed him also, they got him on drugs, but he's still living, ruh is inside. You can't go bury that person. He can't do anything, he can't do istinja, toilet for himself, he can't turn for himself, he's just in the ICU. He's on the drips, he's on a life supporting machine, he can't do anything, but you can't bury him, because the ruh is stuck inside. As soon as the ruh will go out, doctors will write the death certificate. Now he has passed away, and I'll take him and go and bury him. So from this, we all can understand the most important is the ruh. The body is the vehicle. Like we have a car, the car cannot move on its own. And you need a driver. The driver is important. May Allah save us all. Sometimes you meet up with an accident and you say the car is a write-off. But alhamdulillah, nobody got a scratch also. Alhamdulillah. There was a robbery, for example. Allah protect us all. And they stole a lot of money. But you say, alhamdulillah, they didn't hurt anyone. So the person is more important. So like that, the ruh is more important. The ruh is the main thing. But if we have to consider, how much do we think about the ruh? And how much do we look after the ruh? How much do we feed the ruh? How much do we make the ruh strong? This body of ours, from morning till night, we are working for the body. To earn money, we have a nice house, have a nice car, nice food, we go for holidays. It is all the comfort and enjoyment of the body. But for the ruh, how much do we do? How much time do we give for the ruh? And this body, how much a person is going to live 50, 60, 70 years and the body has come to an end. The ruh's life does not come to an end. It only intiqal hota hai, the time of maut, we say intiqal. Rahlat hui unki. That is, he has gone on to another journey. That's all, the ruh carries on the journey. And the ruh, it wasn't in existence since ever, Allah created the ruh. But since Allah created the ruh, it doesn't die. The ruh will remain forever and ever. It was kept in alam-e arwah, in a realm where Allah had kept all the arwah. And for which body, which ruh was meant, when the body got ready in the mother's womb, Allah transferred that ruh to that body. Now the two live together. At the time of maut, the two separated. Just like we going for Umrah. We go by car from here till the airport. From here we say we're going for Umrah. But we're sitting in a car. When we reach the airport, we leave the car alone and we now take the aeroplane. When we reach Jeddah, we leave the aeroplane alone, we take a taxi or something and we go to Makkah Sharif, we go to Medina Sharif. So it's just a change all the time. So just like that, the ruh changes its form of transfer. When it was first in Alam Arwah, Allah kept it as a ruh. When it came in this world, Allah put it in this body. This body is the vehicle to transport this ruh to its final destination at the time of maut. And then from the time of maut, Allah gives it another body. Very similar to this body, but a bit different from this body here. And then it carries on. And whatever happens there then, it happens on that body. But everything happens on the ruh. A person feels happy, it's the ruh that gets happy. A person feels sad, it's the ruh that gets sad. A person feels pain, it's the ruh that feels the pain. It's not this body, it's the ruh. When the ruh is taken out and you have a dead body, now you shoot it 20 times, it makes no difference, it's a dead body. Whether you're shooting a stone, whether you're shooting a log, whether you're shooting anything else, the ruh, as long as the ruh is inside, then everything. So the two, now, why we are living, just like you have a car, you bought a brand new Mercedes Benz, top of the range, the most powerful, latest model. And youngsters, when they saw our daddy bought a brand new BMW, and they also want to drive. 15, 16 year olds are very eager to drive. As soon as he gets the key in his hand, he's out, and he puts his friend in the car. And with the friends, they go for a spin. And very common, how many times haven't we heard it, not only of our boys, our girls also, that BMW has got power, it speeds up, and they can't control it, and there they crash. And how many times, 3, 4 of our youngsters are dead. Constantly we are hearing this. So what? That car had power, but it couldn't be controlled. So whoever controls, if you are driving at 200 kilometers per hour, but you got control of the car, no problem. But if the car is just rolling and it's out of control, nobody to control it, it will kill someone. It will make an accident, anything. So the thing is, now who is controlling this body? If the nafs is controlling this body, then that body is out of control. Because the nafs is why? When the nafs controls it, it means shaitan is controlling this body. Now you won't care who you are looking at, which woman, and you won't worry what bad thoughts you are having of any woman whatsoever. You won't think of getting up for Fajr hosts. You won't think of making namazes. Shaitan is in control. And when shaitan is in control, really, that body that is out of control, you will do the most terrible crimes, and you will commit the worst gunas, and you won't even feel guilty about it. Shaitan is in control. And shaitan has promised that he's going, وَيَدْرُوا أَصْحَابَهُ لِيَكُونُوا مِنْ أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ, that I will invite the people so that they go with me to the fire of Jahannam. So shaitan, when he is in control, which is really that body is out of control of going to Jannah, he is controlling it to take it to Jahannam. A person will commit such gunas that we cannot imagine, and he only will feel guilty about it. He'll be in fact proud about it. He'll talk about his gunas also. This is when the nafs is out of control. And if the ruh is in control, the ruh is overpowering, then that body is in under control. Now you've got a strong body, you can make ibadat whole night also, and you don't get tired also. You can make tawaf after tawaf, umrah after tawaf, umrah.
You're going for Jamaat one way.
And in Jamaat one way you are making mulaqat, you are making
ghusl, you don't get tired. Why? The ruh is in control.
But when the ruh is not in, and then the ruh takes his body towards Allah Ta'ala, towards Jannah. So each one of us, we have got this two, the ruh and the nafs. And we have to see, really think for ourselves, in my life, in my body, who is in charge, who is in control? Is the nafs in control or is the ruh in control? If the nafs is in control, then all the time it will cling to dunya. Most of our time we will spend to earn dunya also. Our business, our factories, our farms, whatever. Most of the time, because nafs likes, is made of dunya's material. So it likes dunya. It likes houses. It likes cars. It likes all these things. So, and for to have that, we have to work. Either you earn it in a halal way or you earn it in a haram way. But it has put you down into dunya. Even in a halal way. It is not haram, it's in a halal way. But you are in dunya all the time. And that means the nafs is in control. The nafs wants a nice house, wants a nice car. Halal house, halal car, everything. But it is dunya all the time. Such a person, commonly they will ask, in namaz I can't concentrate. I think about dunya, I think about my house, my business. It's natural. When all the time, about 20 hours of yours you're spending in dunya, in your shop, in your house, sleeping. So in namaz, what thoughts going to come? Dunya's thoughts going to come. Because all the time you are in dunya, nafs is in control. So even in namaz, which you are making, but nafs is in control. You are thinking of dunya stuff. If ruh is in control, then most of your time will be spent for deen. And you don't have to worry one bit from where will rosy come. For example, Allah has said, وَمَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. Every person's rosy, Allah has taken the responsibility. Right? More than human beings, there are animals in the world. Which shops animals got? Which offices they go and work? Which factories they work? But Allah is feeding them. And how Allah is feeding them? The lion gets the best of food, meat all the time. And they don't die of the lions, they are eating. And they are eating the best of everything. Clothes, see the birds, what beautiful feathers they got. Allah is giving them clothes. So Allah, and that is in Quran, in Hadith. Then as far as history is concerned, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, all the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam didn't work for a living. They only worked for deen. Sahaba also almost totally. They did do business also, but almost totally their time was devoted to deen. And when they devoted it to deen, Allah gave them dunya more than what we can ever imagine. So much of dunya Allah gave them. So this is the system of Allah. If we work for deen, we do the ibadat for Allah, we do ibadat of Allah, Allah will give us dunya and He will throw dunya at our feet. When we work for dunya, we will get dunya. How much Allah wishes He wants to give and who He wants to give, but we will become disgraced. And dunya will have izzat in front of us. When we give izzat and honor to dunya, that I must earn a lot and now our shop, oh, he's got a top shop and he's doing a wonderful flourishing business, etc. We respect and honor dunya, we disgrace ourselves. Then a person humiliates himself in front of dunya and he only gets how much Allah has fixed for him. And that also what we have got is not really ours. What we got in our bank balances, what we got in our safes, when we die, it's left for the people behind us. It's not, ours is how much we eat from them. And how much does a person eat? And also we see that generally poor people got a good appetite. Rich people got no appetite. And they haven't got time to eat also. And they can't eat also. They always worry. They got so many sicknesses, they can't eat also. And poor people put it away. And it all gets digested also. So Allah Ta'ala is the one who feeds and Allah is the one who gives. Animals, how much they eat? How much an elephant eats? How much all the other animals eat? Allah gives them so much. Birds are eating the whole day. Whenever you see, they are busy eating. Cows are chewing the whole time. Day and night they are chewing. And insan, the more wealthy people, they haven't got time to eat and they eat very little also.
Somebody has said very beautifully, Gamayke Ahmad, the rich, who are in most cases stupid people, they will earn or kind of hunt, and the other people will eat of their food. They haven't got time to eat also. Dunya receives us so much. A person makes a swimming pool, builds a swimming pool. And the first season they use it, second season less, by the third season, fourth season, they hardly get time to look at the swimming. Now it's a liability really. You just have to maintain it, and to maintain a swimming pool is expensive. Well, you, one, two seasons, you put your legs inside. After that, you only sit there and have sometimes a meal there. After that, you don't even look at the swimming pool. So all this dunya, what, and all that is for the nafs. We are doing so much for the nafs. Yeah, in our little town of Delmas, if we have to think, how many hospitals are there? Private clinics, doctors, all this is for the nafs. All the shops, garages, furniture shops, grocery, hardware, all the shops is for the comfort of the nafs. Everything, the roads, the cars, the buses, everything, trains, is for the comfort of the nafs. In Delmas is the one thing that is for the ruh. The masjid is here, and we feel it come hardly for much to the masjid. How much of, who of us come five times a week to the masjid? And how, for how much time we come? The ruh, which is more important, how many of us are spending time in the masjid? And the masjid is a place of Allah's worship. Hospital, as we have hospitals for the body. Like that, we need hospitals for the ruh also. Maulana Shah Abrar al-Hassab rahmatullah alayhi, very great ali, one of his khalifas was in a hospital in Bombay. They had to do an operation on him, so they wanted him to sign the document that you allow us to do the operation. So he said, first I'll make mashura, I'll take the view of my spiritual doctor. He said, who's the spiritual doctor? We are your doctors, we are treating you. Who's the spiritual doctor? So he said, call all the doctors of the hospital and I will explain to you. They called all the doctors, then he told them, see, regularly we were taking out blood from our body to test our sugar, to test whether the kidney is functioning right, the thyroid is right, cholesterol, many things you can check from our blood. But tell me, can you check from my blood how much anger I have got? And how much pride I have got? And how much jealousy I have got? He said, no, this we cannot check. He said, that is the work of a ruhani doctor, of a spiritual doctor. And we have a hospital for that also. This doctor, a spiritual doctor, I'm not talking of that other some funny doctors who are advertising, advertisements come in the newspapers and they do all the funny things they advertise. I'm not speaking of those spiritual doctors. The real spiritual doctors, we call them mashayikh, ahlullah. And they will diagnose and see in us how much pride we have got, how much of love of dunya we have got, how much of jealousy we have got. And the spiritual hospital is called a khanqa, where a person goes for spiritual treatment. And the ruh is the most important. If your ruh is correct, your body will also be correct. If your ruh got in, have got diseases, like your iman is very weak, no tawakkul on Allah ta'ala, smallest problem, you'll become depressed. Smallest problem, you'll want to commit suicide. Smallest problem, you go out of your mind. If you have trust in Allah, Allahu Akbar. One of our friends, they just hijacked his 12-ton truck with goods full. But ta'alluq with Allah ta'ala accepts it happening. Allah, you wished it, it has happened. And he accepts it happening. And Allah's help comes to such. And a person who starts fighting Allah ta'ala, when your iman is weak, when your tawakkul on Allah is weak, then you start fighting with Allah. Why did this happen? We make one namaz a week and we say, I make namazes, but why did this azab come? Why did Allah do this to me? Then a person, that is, so if your iman, your ruh is strong, then if your mentally also, you will be strong. And then physically also, you will be strong. Your dunya's life, Allah will make comfortable. Your qabr's life, your akhirat's life also. So the most important is to treat the ruh, and that we don't even think. We feed our bodies. And whenever we have a meal, who of us just have a simple, just one tarkari, one type of thing, one roti? No, we have to have achars also. We have to have chutneys also. We have to have some samosas and some bhajiyas and some kawabs and everything we have to have. For the ruh, what food I need? compulsory, like three meals a day, we can say, as far as dunya is concerned, so to say, we can say it's compulsory. Allah made five namazes for us for the ruh. How many of us are making our five namazes? And then when we are eating, see what concentration we eat. Commonly we notice when people are sitting to eat, and the people who are serving bring the platter, nobody even looks up at them. Because they're eating with concentration and devotion. And when the food comes on the table, a person is sitting on this end, and the food that came on that end, his eyes are there. And he's determined, I'm not going to miss out on anything. Everything, I must get my samosa also, and I must eat my paal also. Everything we have to eat, all for this growth. We are feeding it so much. Then not only three meals a day, then we are having in between some after morning tea, and afternoon tea, and a night cap again. And all the time today, even big people chewing all the time. Chappies all the time, you see the mouths are just moving. Children also, now big people also. All for the ruh, for the body. And for the soul, how much do we do? How many of us are regular with our five times namaz? How many of us are doing our five times namaz with concentration and devotion? Most of us, when we have finished our namaz, then we realize I was in namaz. Whole namaz, we are in our business, we are in sports, we are in our house, we are traveling in the world in our namaz. And what thoughts come to us in our namaz? So that namaz, that is with food with so much concentration. Maulana Saeed Khan Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi of Madinatul Munawwara, used to say the amount of concentration we got in eating. If we have 10% of that concentration in our namaz, then we will see what namaz is. How we enjoy the food, then we'll enjoy namaz like that. But today, our namaz, we are the last to come in and the first to go out. We always are late also and no concentration, and just haphazardly we made our namaz. Then we have gone back to our work. Work is more important. And when we come also for namaz, then we put on the topi. And then we fold up our trousers above the ankles. We got short sleeves, we put on the jubba. The minute namaz is finished, topi is off. And we take it off also like it was a bird. Just take it off. Put the jubba one side, roll the trousers down. Now, what did we do for namaz? We're doing so much for the body, and body is temporary. And if the body is controlling, then this is the conditions in the world. We don't have to blame anyone else for the conditions we are going. We ourselves are contributors towards this condition. If we make the ruh strong, and we feed the ruh, and let the ruh get its food, how many of us make tilawat of Quran Sharif that regularly? One main ibadat of Jummah is Durood Sharif. How many of us read Durood Sharif today? How many of us made zikr? The little dua we make after namaz, that also if the imam takes too long, is a problem. And we start making dua that if he finishes dua, now it's better. There is no dua we don't make. Zikr we're not feeding the ruh. So the ruh has become weak, and the body has become strong, the nafs. So the nafs is in charge. And when the nafs is in charge, really shaitan is in charge. When the ruh is in charge, farishtas are in charge. And that person who makes zikr and he gets Allah in his heart, Allah controls that heart. One very beautiful example, one great alim had given, that in the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala is an ayat, إِنَّ الْمُلُوكَ إِذَا دَخَلُوا قَرْيَةً أَفْسَدُوهَا. When conquerors enter a city, a country, and when they have conquered the place, they cause havoc and destruction. There is a lot of robbery, a lot of crime, a lot of raping, all that when a conqueror comes. And then all this opposition, the people of the previous government who can oppose him again in the future, he either kills them or he puts them in jail so that they don't trouble him, so that he's in charge. Like this, when shaitan is in the heart, then all who are the opposition of shaitan, who are the, like making namaz, giving lillah, giving charity, making zikr, shaitan fights them off, kills them, or puts them into jail. So now shaitan is fully in control of that person. And that person gets destroyed completely. And if Allah comes into that heart, then Allah destroys all his opposition of kufr, of shirk, of pride, of jealousy, procrastination.
All these things,
Allah destroys it. Now Allah is in charge. Now the person moves freely towards Jannah, towards Allah Ta'ala. So it is up to us now what effort we're going to make. Who are we going to give? Who are we going to rent our heart to? We're going to rent it to Shaitan, make him the tenant and he comes in charge? Or are we going to give the heart to Allah Ta'ala? And logically, Allah is the creator of the heart. And Allah is the only rightful occupant of the heart. If we have put anyone else in the heart besides Allah, we have made zulam. Because the house, like this is the house of Allah, the masjid. The house of Allah is the heart of a human being. And Allah made that heart, and Allah himself says in a hadith of Qudsi, I don't fit in the heavens, I don't fit in the earth. The only place I fit in is the heart of a mu'min. So give your end, Allah will come, this glass here, if it's dirty on the outside, if you were eating food, and I caught the glass like this and my fingerprints are on the glass, then you feel shy to give somebody else water in that glass. You say it's dirty. But inside it's clean. It's not dirty at all. And if you give somebody what so-called a dirty glass, that person also feels offended. So if the heart is dirty, how will Allah come in a dirty heart? And the heart is not only dirty from outside, the heart is dirty from inside also. And how dirty is it? It is that so dirty as though there is urine and stool, excreta, filled in the heart. Worse than urine and excreta. Like today, unfortunately, how many ordinary people, pious people, good people, are addicted to pornography on the internet, looking at the filth and dirt that is all in the heart, which is worse than stool and urine also. Thinking about other women, your own halal wife you never think of. Even when you with her, you're thinking of other women. And your eyes, you don't look at your halal wife, you're looking at haram woman. So all that is the dirt, the stool and urine in the heart. How will Allah come in such a heart? For that what is required? Correction, islah. A person who has purified his heart and taken out all this dirt, what the nafs likes. Nafs likes all women. Nafs like food, halal, haram. Just if it's certified halal, no matter who is selling it, there's just a halal board. Nafs likes all that food. Takeaways, nafs like. All out the eating out, the nafs likes. All these things, going to holidays, resorts, etc. Who will make a holiday in a masjid 10 days at the kaf? That I've got 10 days free, I'm making i'tikaf in a masjid. We're going to make i'tikaf in a resort. And we fill the coffers of the non-believers. And as one friend told me, that our linen is very napak, that's why you don't come and stay by us. This people's linen is very pak, that's why you go and stay there. The rooms are very clean, and they don't drink liquor in their kitchens. They don't drink liquor, so therefore you prefer to go there. Come and stay by a Muslim's house. Come and stay in the masjid. But the nafs is in control. That's why these things don't make sense to us also. We can't even see. And if the ruh is in control, then we will see things in the right perspective. So an effort has to be made that the ruh comes in control. That we take out, purify, and we take out from our heart all this dirt and all this filth. For that there is an effort also, which is called the effort of islah and tazkiyah. See, we have our makatib, which to learn in the Quran, to learn Quran and the basic masalas is for us on every individual. Everyone must be able to read Quran Sharif, know about Tawheed, oneness of Allah, namaz, wuzu, etc. After that, to become hafiz is not for us on everyone. But we have to have enough hafiz that for Ramzan we don't have a problem. To become an alim is not for us, but we have to have an alim that all the matters of every community can be seen to. To become a qari is not for us, but for everyone to read Quran with reasonable tajweed, that is for us on everyone. To become, and then the work of tabligh and da'wah, what a great work. How many people are getting hidayat? What changes are coming? And then there is the work of tazkiyah and nafs. Our intentions must be ikhlas. And we must have simplicity. We must have love amongst ourselves. We must love the whole ummah and all the efforts of the ummah. All that is for the aim upon everyone. So with regard to this, tonight will be a program in Uwakhis. Tomorrow in A wedding will be an Islahi Jalsa. So please try and attend this. It is absolutely essential that we at least come to know what this is, and it is for us that we make our Islam. Asafu Isha in the wet bank, Pine Ridge, there will be a Islahi Jalsa. Please try and attend there as well. So, ladies' program will be now from 3 to 4. And then at tomorrow there will be a ladies' program in Uafis also. And then the program in wet bank, inshallah.